This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m., and this is the regular Thursday COVID brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and let's see who's on the line. How about let's start with public health nurse Mary Darbone from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Are you there?
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm here. Happy to be here.
Good morning, and thanks for coming. How about Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Great. And Tim Dillon, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Economic Development District. Good morning. Are you there, Tim Dillon? Let's see. I had Tim Dillon. Oh, he's coming back on. So there you are, Tim. I see you connected on my monitor. Do you read me?
I can now. For some reason, I couldn't hear you before.
That's okay. We've got it all worked out. Thanks for being here, Tim. So first, I'd like to start with public health nurse Mary Darbone, because we generally start the COVID brief with a little bit of orienteering. If you can let the listeners know what the trends are and numbers are for COVID in the state of Alaska and break that down to the Lower Kenai Peninsula.
Of course, Kathleen, I'd be happy to orienteer this morning these numbers. I'll start nationwide and then work my way down to our Southern Kenai Peninsula. So nationwide, the current 7-day moving average of daily new cases is 13,997, and that's decreased 6% compared to the previous 7-day moving average. So that's great news. Statewide, I just wanted to give folks a heads up that our statewide dashboard, our numbers are now updated Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It used to be 5 days a week, and they've gone down to 3 days a week. Right now, we're sitting similar to where we were in April of last year. 140 cases were reported in Alaska last week, and that's a 38% decrease from the week before. That's huge news. And the incidence of COVID appears to be declining in most boroughs and most census areas, not all. There are some boroughs around the state that are still seeing an increase in cases. And we do expect a considerable week-to-week variability in the number of cases, especially in smaller communities where incidence is low. But yesterday in the state, there were 42 cases, 0 deaths, 15 hospitalizations. And now getting all the way down here to the Southern Kenai Peninsula, so Nanilchik South and around the bay, we saw maybe six cases in the last 14 days. So we're looking pretty good there.
Thanks. That's Nurse Mary Darbone from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Mary, can we add to that? Actually, first, if anybody has any questions, you can email your questions to info@kbbi.org. Tim Dillon, Jenny Carroll, and Nurse Mary are all ready to take your questions as they apply. But Mary, I do have a question about, do you have data on how many people are showing up, travelers, and testing positive?
Ooh, I don't have specific data on travelers into Alaska. I know, speaking personally, down here in Homer, it seems like a lot of folks are traveling here. And I don't know if that's because we got used to little people last year or if because there's an actual increase in the amount of travelers to this area. I did hear, this is hearsay, but I did hear that Safeway hit their all-time highest sale at the beginning of June. So I think we are seeing quite a few travelers here. And travelers are able to get vaccinated. This started June 1st. When they arrive in the airport, they are able to receive a vaccine there at the airport. And that is at the Juneau, Fairbanks, or Anchorage airports. And those vaccines are free of charge.
Okay, thanks for that. So today is a vaccination pop-up clinic today, as it is a Thursday in June, as Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, can you remind people about how a person can get vaccinated today? And then, Nurse Mary, I'm going to come back to you, and we're going to talk about vaccine numbers across the state. Jenny?
Sure, I can. When I heard Mary say that Safeway had their all-time high, I was thinking she was going to say vaccine numbers for a day, but we're going to try to do that out at the Spit. There's two more opportunities for the Homer Spit pop-ups. One is today, June 17th, and then next Thursday, June 24th. Those are happening at the Boathouse Pavilion at the top of Ramp 2 from 3 to 7. Everyone 12 years and older is eligible. There are Pfizer and Janssen vaccines available, as are health professionals. So if you just want to get your questions answered about vaccine, their efficacy, safety questions and concerns, feel free to head down there and ask your questions with no obligation to be vaccinated. If you are under 18, you will need to bring your parental consent. It's required for minors. Then there's food, there's fun, there are incentives that the hospital is offering. While they last, $40 Homer Bucks are given out at the pop-up on the Spit. They are starting to run low, I hear, so they are no longer being offered at the COVID test and vaccine site on Bartlett Street. They had made those incentives available at both locations, and now it's just back out at the Spit again. Also on the Spit, if you're already vaccinated, you can bring your vaccination card and be entered to win in these last 2 weeks of drawings for local business gift certificates. So that is the pop-up news. There's also, of course, I mentioned earlier, the COVID test and vaccine clinic at 4201 Bartlett Street. They're open 7 days a week. They offer Pfizer and Janssen vaccines as well. On Mondays through tomorrow, Moderna is available on Friday starting tomorrow. So right. It used to be Moderna Monday, and now it's Moderna Friday. So that you can go 7 days a week from 9 to 5. It's walk up, and it's also, if you wanted to go onto the South Peninsula Hospital website, you can make an appointment if that's more convenient for you.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, I want to bring Nurse Mary back into this conversation, because at Monday's Homer City Council meeting, I heard Jenny Carroll reading from your report that children as young as 3 could be eligible for the vaccine by this winter. And so I also have a question in my info at kbbi.org queue asking, are there plans for a booster shot or yearly COVID shot for adults? So I want to lump those two together, first of all, and ask you about the possibility of young children being able to get vaccinated by this winter, and then about any plans for a booster shot or a yearly COVID shot for adults.
Answer that, Kathleen. So there is potential for vaccine to be available to younger age groups actually as soon as this fall. Pfizer and Moderna are both testing the efficacy and safety of those vaccines for children under the age of 12. Right now, we know that the vaccine is available, a Pfizer vaccine is available for 12 and older. And we know that kids of different ages can have different responses to vaccine, and it's standard practice with all vaccines to test older children first and then start moving to younger age groups. So it'll likely come out in waves. Maybe we'll see, 5 years to 11 years first, and then it might go younger. But we're still not sure. We're waiting to hear more news on that. I will say this is a great opportunity for parents to look at their kiddos' vaccine status for all vaccines and make sure they're up to date. If you need help navigating your kiddos' vaccine schedule, you can call the Homer Public Health Center at 235-8857. And boosters, that's a hot topic and a commonly asked question here. Although there are not any current plans for a COVID vaccine booster dose, it's not off the table. What we do know is that getting the vaccine now will help keep the virus from mutating if it doesn't have any susceptible hosts. So getting the vaccine now will help in our future. Maybe we won't need a booster. I'll also mention that most vaccines that a person receives in their lifetime are in a series. So like MMR, you get two of those, you get several DTaps and Tdap, and then you get a booster of tetanus, diphtheria, that's the TD booster. And if you're adult, you're supposed to get that every 10 years. So it's not unfamiliar to us to have booster doses. And I'll say it again, if you feel like you or your kids might be out of date on your immunizations, call your medical home and talk to your doctor so you can get up to date on those.
Thanks. And then the other question I got is, do we know how long the shot lasts? In terms of, I want to tie that to a question I have about reinfection rates or people who get COVID at breakthrough cases, right? People who get COVID after they've been vaccinated. So have we been at this long enough to know how long this immunization lasts, this vaccine lasts?
You know, it's still being studied how long it lasts. We only know how long it's gone. And so far, with the data that we have, it's looking pretty good, but it's impossible to tell the future, but predictions are looking pretty good. And there is a statistic semi-related that as of January 1st of 2021, 97% of all COVID-19 hospitalizations in Alaska have been among people who were unvaccinated. So we don't know how long the vaccine lasts, but we do know that it's preventing people from getting critically ill. And reinfection, often we've seen that if folks have been vaccinated and they're fully vaccinated and they've been exposed and maybe they test positive for COVID, oftentimes those folks who've tested positive for COVID have little to no symptoms. And so we know that the vaccine is preventing severe illness, which prevents hospitalizations. And that's really good news.
Thanks. And one more question that I have in my queue over the last couple of days is, well, I don't know if you have these figures either. Breaking down the figures is definitely a hurdle to get over. But do you know how many people are taking the vaccine at airports around the state? How many travelers are taking it?
I don't know an exact number there, Kathleen. I do know some preliminary reports or kind of word of mouth. Since the effort has started, I believe at the Anchorage airport, they have done maybe nearly 300. Don't quote me on that.
Well,
this is a word of mouth.
You're live, you know.
I will be quoted, but I believe around 300. And I know that we had a public health nurse go through the Anchorage airport recently and went down and talked to the folks that are vaccinating there at the Anchorage airport. And on that day, they had done about 40 vaccines. So folks are coming through. And there has been a bit of an international pull. So folks are coming in from other parts of the country to get vaccinated here. So that's news. And the airports are happy to offer vaccine to folks.
Thanks so much. That is public health nurse Mary Darbone from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. I'm going to switch gears now, and I'll be back to Jenny Carroll and Nurse Mary in a few minutes. But for now, Tim Dillon, are you there?
I am here.
Hooray. So, Tim, you are, as in your position as executive director of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, you have, or your group has, started up a terrific website for people who are searching for jobs. And I thought it would be a good time to talk about that now, since this week is when supplemental unemployment benefits end. And people are really looking hard for jobs that pay. So can you talk a little bit about what your project is at the Economic Development District and then about the website?
Well, basically what we've done is this project has been in the works for a little bit over 2 years with the goal that I was getting tired of hearing that the local people didn't have opportunities for good paying jobs. So we sat down and we listened to 30 different partners to try and figure out what we could do, because our goal is if a job opens up on the Kenai Peninsula and somebody from the Kenai Peninsula wants that job, we want to make sure they are trained appropriately and that they have the opportunity to get that job. So we took that along with trying to, you know, we work with the Alaska Job Center and they do an awesome job with helping us, and all of our, everything on our website, and it's KenaiPeninsulaWorkforce.org. Everything has embedded links. So as things change, we don't have to go back into our website and change things. So if you want to go looking for a job, the right on that first screen, all you have to do is press where it says Alaska Job Center. But if you're not sure what you want to do, you know, what we did was we not only talked to a lot of students coming out of high school, but we also talked to a variety of people that either lost their job or wanted to change jobs, wanted to look at something else, wanted to be able to switch gears, make more money, you know, go to a different field. So when you go to our website and you're not sure what you want to do, you can even take a career test right off of the website. So you can figure out, okay, these are the things that I like to do, these are the things that I don't like to do. And it helps you identify some of the different areas. Then what you can do is it also identifies all the training needed for each of the different kinds of jobs, the potential salary, what certifications you need, where to get those certifications, and how to hopefully get somebody to help pay for those certifications or degree if you need a degree for it.
Right.
So it's kind of a one-stop shop. And I really hope that, you know, people, we've heard a lot from people around the peninsula, and quite honestly, we've heard from people all the way around the state and some folks in the lower 48 wanting to know exactly how we were able to put this together, because it's kind of a one of a kind out there right now. But I'm sure some other people are going to be copying it. But
I expect you to be making presentations at conferences about this. I do want to let people know that it sounds like an enormous amount of information, and it is, but it's broken down so well, and this site is so easy to navigate. It's KenaiPeninsulaWorkforce.org, that you can, as Tim was just saying, you can figure out, am I looking at jobs proper? Am I looking at what kind of education I need? Am I looking at how to fund the education I need to get the jobs? It's really broken down beautifully, so well done you. But I do have a question. Are you tracking a success rate for placing people with jobs?
No, we're not, because our goal is to be able to, it's a gift to the Kenai Peninsula. We want people to go ahead and use it. And we know people are using it. We know people have got questions and things. But as far as figuring out how many people have gotten placed off of it, that's going to be very difficult to do. And realistically, that's not what this is all about. This is about getting down to the individual that wants to work and getting them that opportunity.
Thanks, Tim. So is there any information that we're missing right now that people need to know in terms of connecting with you guys? I mean, we know the website. Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say our other website, you know, because everybody isn't always looking for a job. You know, some folks have a great job or they have a business. Our other website, which is kpedd.org, is a website that can help you if you want to move to the Kenai Peninsula, if you want to start a business on the Kenai Peninsula, if you want to expand your business, all the answers, all the data, all the help is right there, even down to the point where, you know, somebody might be sitting at home saying, you know what, I really would love to look for another job, but I haven't written a resume in 20 years. I don't even know how to do that. Well, we actually have resources on both of our websites to help you write a resume, to help you write a business plan, to help you write that cover letter. So all those things are there. Plus, if somebody can't figure it out, they pick up the phone and they call us, and our phone numbers are on there. And I have a wonderful staff. I have three women that work for us, and Cassidy Cameron, who used to be the city manager over in Seldovia. We actually hired her away from Seldovia being the city manager. She actually runs all of our special projects. In fact, she's working on our broadband project right now because we're trying to bring faster, better broadband to the entire Kenai Peninsula. So we're working with the governor's office on that part. Then we have Caitlin Corson, who is handling things with the workforce side and some of our other pieces here in our office, plus Abby Dial, because the biggest project we're working on right now is looking into financial resiliency and business resiliency. All the things that we've learned over the last 3 years, you know, we had the earthquake, we had the fires, we've had the fish disasters, and now we've had COVID. So it's not if we're going to have another disaster, it's when. So what we want to try and do is take all these little tidbits and things that we've learned and put them together so that we can work with the chambers, work with our incorporated cities to get this word out and help people so that they can perform a little bit better.
Thanks for that. Also, thanks especially because your work and the Kenai Peninsula Borough Economic Development District's work has really done, has accomplished something I was wondering if we were going to be able to accomplish, which is getting people in positions of leadership to get serious about talking about broadband access. And I really feel like you have taken that and made it a topic of conversation among people who were dismissing it before.
Well, you know, it's one of our top five things in our new comprehensive economic development strategy. And we're really excited that we've been able to place ourselves in a position statewide and also nationally where people are relying on us. They're coming to us, asking us for help. In fact, on Friday, tomorrow, I'm actually making a presentation to the folks in the Valley to help them create their own economic development organization. I've done it in Kodiak. I've done it with the Denali Borough, and the governor's office has now asked me to do it in the Valley. So we're helping a lot of people, which I'm excited about. The one thing that everybody needs to remember is that we're not government. First of all, we're a private corporation. And number two, no one ever pays for coming into my office or calling me or anything along those lines. We have contracts with the federal government, with the state, and with the borough, but we are not government. And also, all of our services are free.
Right. Thank you for making that point. All the assistance that you're offering here, none of that comes with a charge. So, Tim, if you can stay on the line for another 7-8 minutes, in case we get any questions for you at info@kbbi.org or 235-7721, then I'd like to return to Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, and we'll check back with you in a couple of minutes, Tim. Can you stay on the line?
Yes, I can.
Thank you so much. So, Jenny Carroll, information officer for the city of Homer, you have some information about community recreation programs and COVID operating procedures for the city, right?
I sure do. Yeah. Well, you know, throughout the pandemic, our city manager, Rob Dumichel, has met regularly with the COVID mitigation team and to make and review our internal city policies. And at our most recent meeting, Rob decided to make masks optional for members of the public when in city facilities or when attending any city functions. So we still strongly encourage that non-vaccinated individuals wear a mask, and that will be self-determined. It's a really effective mitigation measure, and we would really like to keep our operations teams healthy and doing the kinds of services that the Homer citizens expect from the city, as well as making the general public who maybe have vulnerabilities to COVID feel safe in facilities that is used by the public. So we're asking that non-vaccinated individuals continue to wear a mask. Of course, any member of the public or any staff member who's sick or exhibiting any symptoms that can be reasonably assumed to have a connection to COVID, they are asked to do their business with the city through alternative methods. We allow phone, email. We have curbside pickup at the library. There's a lot of accommodation for people to get remote services since COVID started. And so hold off on your visit to a city facility until you're healthy again. And by all means, if you feel like you have any kind of COVID symptoms, I know allergy season is here and sometimes it's hard to differentiate, but the tests are really quick and easy at the COVID clinic.
And
at,
they're free.
On Bartlett Street and free. The results are coming back very quickly these days. So please get a test. That's another really great mitigation measure to keep COVID from spreading. We're doing really great in town, so let's keep it up. How does this policy, you know, how does it impact people on the outside? Well, it includes facilities at the Homer Public Library. You know, masks are optional. Unless you're unvaccinated, we ask you to wear a mask. Also at community recreation. The one exception is the Homer Airport Terminal. Masks are still mandatory there as federal mandates regarding mask usage supersede, you know, any kind of city facility guidance. So masks are still mandatory under federal mandates at the Homer Airport Terminal. The community recreation, you asked me about it last week, and I felt like I kind of skimmed over it a little bit. But they've been doing programs ongoing for the last several months under pretty detailed mitigation plans. But with the city manager's updated policy now, Community Rec is moving forward under those updated guidelines. So masks are optional, including at the HERC. And the other news from Community Recreation is that they are partnering with the school district and Homer High School in an effort to offer free indoor and outdoor programming at the high school for the local 7th through 12th graders so that our youth have healthy options and ways to meet up with each other and have great activities. The activities go Monday through Sunday, both at the HERC, at the high school track, and the high school gym, or weight room, I mean. The gym is getting a new roof, so there won't be anything in there for a while. But there's basketball, football, Zumba, soccer, frisbee, weightlifting, karate, cheerleading workouts that are open. So please check into the Community Recreation website on the City of Homer. It's at www.cityofhomer-ak.gov, and you can hit the recreation tab on the left. If you have any questions that you want answered, you can go to Mike Ilg's phone number. It is 235-6090. He's also wanting to plan for some additional new programming opportunities for late summer and early fall. So as he'll be working with the school district to utilize facilities there as well as we always have in the past. So keep tuned because there may be more coming.
Okay, thanks so much. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. And I want to end with Public Health Nurse Mary Darbone, because we talked about trends in positive cases of COVID, but we didn't really talk about trends in vaccination. And so I wanted to know, make sure everybody knows that there's a pop-up clinic happening today from 3 to 7 p.m. And then I'll be back in just a minute with more information about where you can get a test 7 days a week and a vaccine 7 days a week. I have a caller on the line. Nurse Mary, can you stay on for a couple of seconds to hear this?
Can do, Kathleen.
Okay. Joshua, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I got the vaccine, and the first shot made me ill for a couple days, and the second shot made me very ill for more than a month. It pretty much incapacitated me, and I was only able to get out of my bed about 12 hours a day, so sleeping 12 hours a day, which is pretty unusual for me. And I had cold sweats, fever, I was throwing up, and pretty much all around the sickest I've ever been in my entire life.
So, Joshua, do you have a healthcare provider Do you have a doctor or someplace you go? Did you contact them? Actually, I just wanted to make sure, because if you don't, then I always recommend people call SVT Health and Wellness and get themselves a medical provider. However, it sounds like you got that under control already, but I want to let Nurse Mary Darbone from the Public Health Department respond to that. Mary, do you have some response?
Yeah, Joshua, thanks for your call, and sorry you experienced that. It sounds pretty rough. Not something that I would want to go through. I don't know if there's a question in there, but I do recommend working with your doctor and figuring out, you know, why that happened to you. And then we've got a great reporting system called VAERS, and it's a passive reporting system, which means that you can work with your physician to enter that report, as in it's a report of anything that might have been correlated with the vaccine, and you enter all that information in, put in your contact info, and then actually someone from the CDC will reach out and ask more questions about that. So the VAERS reporting system is a great system. If your physician isn't wanting to enter that information, you can actually do it yourself. So I would recommend logging into the VAERS reporting system and getting that information in there, because we are collecting that and following up on it, and we really want as much data as possible for situations like this. And again, sorry you've gone through that. That sounds like a pretty rough experience.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't a question. I just wanted to put that out there because there's a little more information. I'm like a 40-year-old man. I'm pretty healthy. And I'm concerned that it could be dangerous for persons that might have health issues.
So what I wanted to make sure is that you said you have spoken to your doctor. Did you get any response?
Immediately after taking the vaccine, I fell very ill, and then I didn't go to the doctor for about a week. And then I went back, and it turned out I had strep throat, and that took 4 courses of antibiotics to get rid of.
Gotcha. So it might have been tied to that.
Well, it was certainly, in my opinion, tied to taking the vaccine. I mean, literally the day before I went in, I was 100%, and then the next day I was laid up for 4 months.
And
in my bed, sweating.
For 4 months. So I want to double down on what Mary said. I'm terribly sorry that you went through that. And how are you feeling now?
Well, finally, I'm a little bit better.
Good. Okay, Joshua.
And this is 5 weeks out now.
I see. Oh, okay. You said this has been 5 weeks.
Yeah, it was actually 5 weeks yesterday.
What? So where's
the
form?
And I started feeling better at a little bit the beginning of this week. And now I'm finally better.
Oh, okay. So where does the 4 months come from? You just said you were sick for 4 months.
I'm sorry, 4 weeks.
Oh, gotcha. 1 month. Okay, that's better.
Kathleen, this is Jenny. I'd just like to add in that if anyone has, you know, concerns about the vaccine, we really do encourage people to talk to your healthcare provider or seek out advice from the public health nurses about finding a provider. So if you feel like you maybe have worries about it, of being sick for a while from the vaccine, or if you have underlying medical conditions that give you questions or pause, that's really great critical thinking, and there's really great resources in the community to get answers to your questions and you know, be guided through the vaccine process. So please reach out to public health 235-8857 or some of the medical homes in Homer for assistance with just these kinds of questions.
And
it's a really great opportunity for us to reinforce that that opportunity for people to take their health questions to their medical providers.
Thanks. And Nurse Mary, thank you all for staying 5 minutes late. Nurse Mary, do you have, so VERS is V-E-R-R-S, is it? So just
it's
in case Joshua would like to contribute this information to the database so that it helps everyone.
Yeah, it's VAERS, VAERS reporting system, and it's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And that would be a great resource to go to. But yeah, just like Jenny said, talk to your physician. You know, we're really open about all this. We really want to answer questions, and we really want to give the most accurate data that we can. And so Jenny's exactly right. Give us a call. Let us talk through it with you. We'll take any and all questions and concerns. It's really about you and your health. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Okay, well.
Okay, thank you for the information about the VAERS. Is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
Okay.
Thanks for your call,
Joshua.
Thank you
all for taking my call.
Sure thing. And Nurse Mary Darbone, public health nurse for the Homer Public Health Center in the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, thank you. Jenny Carroll, information officer for the City of Homer, and Tim Dillon, executive director of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Economic Development District. Thank you all, and good morning. This has been the regular Thursday COVID Brief on KBBI AM 890, Homer. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. The time is 9:37 a.m.